All right, we are on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, and we just started the fifth parak B'meh Behema Yetza, and we said as worthy of introduction that the basic premise is that an animal, and so too in the next parak, a human being, is allowed to walk out into the Rishus HaRavim themselves, as well as with things which are considered to be tafel to their body, things which are batel to their guf, like clothing for a human being, or like that which is necessary to serve as a shmirah for the animal. Now, we had an interesting machlokes yesterday between Rav and Shmuel, as well as other shitas amorayim and tanayim, as to, everyone agrees if you have something which serves as a shmirah for the animal can go out on Shabbos with that. If you have a shmira yisera, something which you have an unnecessary item which is being used to safeguard the animal, do we say that to the extent that it's unnecessary, it's too much, therefore it's a masui? Or do we say that nitirusa yiserta is not a masui? And we mentioned that shitas rav is that it is considered to be a masui. The next thing we said in the Mishnah was, we mentioned that Bali Shir, Ayetim Bashir, and Nimshachim Bashir. And we said Bali Ashir is referring to animals which go out with a collar. So they go out with a collar and they're pulled with a collar. So, says the Gemara like this. So Sus, it goes out with a shear, and so on. Mai Yoitzin or Mai Nimshachim. What does it mean that they are Yoitzin and they are Nimshachim? So Amravuna, Oy Yoitzin Kruchin, Oy Nimshachim. So, very interesting. If we look at Rashi, it must be about 20 lines on the bottom of the page. Yoitzin Kruchin. Rashi says, Haritsua Saviv Tzavoran, meaning the strap is tied around the neck of the animal. Says Rashi, V'avapi she'enai oichza lav masihu, delenoi nami urchayuhu. Meaning that which is considered to be beauty, and nice for the animal, is also considered to be normal, and therefore it's considered to be part of the animal. So in other words, certain animals go out, they always present themselves with a collar. It's a bal shir. So to the extent that it's always yotzin, that it can go out even if it's just kruchin, even if it's just wrapped around the neck of the animal, and it's not that the owner uses it and grabs onto the collar. I mean, it could be quite tight around the neck. So there isn't actually space for the owner to grab onto and stick his fingers inside the collar to lead the animal. No, nevertheless, it's considered to be normal. It's a noise for the animal. And therefore, says Rav Huna, O Yoitzin Kruch, and they can go out either like that where it's tight around the neck, O Nimshachim, and obviously they can go out Nimshachim. If you look at the next Rashi, Rashi says, Nimshach means Shemoshcha Biritsua HaKavua Bitabasa Shir. You can pull the animal with a strap which is fixed into the ring which goes around the collar. So, but the Chiddush is the first case, that even in the first case where there, it's fairly tight around the neck and the owner is not actually pulling the animal, nevertheless, to the extent that it's normal, it's a noi for the animal, and it's considered to be normal, and therefore, says Rav Huna, it's mutter. Says the Gemara of Shmuel, Amar, Yoitzin Nimshachin, Ve'in Yoitzin Kruchin. The animal can only go out if it's got some type of a device which is going to aid and facilitate the owner's ability to hold on to the animal, but not if it's just tightly wrapped around the animal. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi says, Yetzin Nimshachim, why? Diniti Rusa, because that's for Shmira, and therefore, Urchahu, the Ein Yetzin Kruchin. Whereas, it would not be able to go out, Kruchin, Dolanoi Lav Urchayuhu. So, basically, the Shaila is, do we say, if something is Noi, if something is just for Noi, is it considered to be permitted, or is that a problem? Fine. That's the machlokes between Rav Huna and Shmuel. B'masnisa Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Yetzin Kruchin, Limashich. The Braisa seems to say, like Shmuel, that the animal go out Kruchin, but it's Kruchin Limashich. You look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kruchim Limashich, Kruchim Berevach. So it's wrapped around the neck, but it's done Berevach. There's plenty of space. Meaning, Shiyachal Hachnis Yodai Bein Hakrach Letzavar. You can stick your hand between the collar, between where it's wrapped around, and the actual neck. Oyaniach Ma'at Menachevel. So it clearly seems from the Braisa like Shmuel, and we should him say that either Rav Huna would have to be Matat this Braisa. If you look at Tesis says that Rav Huna Mataritz Kruchim Limashich Shish Halal Bein Afser Letzavar. Not that you necessarily need to do that right now, and it can go just with a collar around its neck, but there is space that you could, in theory, put something on if you wanted to. Others say that Rav Huna didn't know of this braisa. Fine. Rav Yosef, Chazina lehu leigle de bei Rav Huna yotzin ba'afsarehen kruchim b'shabbos. So Rav Yosef says that they saw the calves of in the house of Rav Huna, that they went out with an afsar. And remember, we said an afsar is basically a rope which goes and wraps a little bit around the animal's mouth and head also. That's what he was made about Rav Huna. Ki asked Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Chanina, Mulois Shobez Rebbe Yotzeis Ba'afsarehen B'Shabbos. So Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Chanina about Beis Rebbe that Yotzeis Ba'afsarehen B'Shabbos, that his mulois, which were the mules of Beis Rebbe, they also went out with an afsar. So the question is, saying that it goes out with an afsar, I mean, Rav Dimi is coming to say some type of a chiddush. He's coming to give some type of testimony, saying, Rav Dimi saying, in the name of Rav Chanina, that you should know this is what the Beis Rebbe did. So to say that the mules went out with a strap, if it's just a regular strap which is used to keep them in check, there's not much of a chiddush. So therefore the Gemara poses the shaila, boilo kruchin einim shachin. Does it mean that they went out when they were karuch? Or does it mean nimshachin? That it was strapped in a way that the owner was able to drag them and pull them and lead them. In which case, there's not such a chiddush of Rav Chanina to tell us that this is what the Beis Rebbe did, other than the fact that I guess he would be telling us that the Beis Rebbe seems to side with Shmuel and not with Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna said that an animal can go out, Bali Shir can go out just with a shear of korach around its neck, because it's noy, and if it's for noy, that itself is justified. So again, one more time. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rav Chanina, Mulois Shobis Rebbe, Yotzeis Ba'afsarehen B'Shabbos. And say, Yiboy Lahu, Kruchin Einim Shachem. Was this Kruchin tightly wrapped around the neck, and therefore the Chiddush is that even noy is mutter? Or is it Dafke if it is Nimshachem? So Toshma, Dachi Asar of Shmuel by Yehuda. Amr Chanina, we have a similar memra that not Rav Dimi, but rather when Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda came, he said in the name of Rav Chanina, Mulei Shobes Rabbi Yitzis Bafsarein Kruchim B'Shabbos. So Amru Rabban and Kamed Rav Asi, Hadub Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Leitzricha. I don't need Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda's memra. I mean, he seemingly is saying pretty much the exact same thing. We have two very similar memras. We have Rav Dimi b'shem Rav Chanina, what Rebbe used to do. And then we have Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda b'shem Rav Chanina, what Rebbe used to do. So they said, Ha, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda loy tzricha. I don't need his edus, I don't need his shtikl Torah, mid Rav Dimi nafka. Clearly, we've already understood everything from Rav Dimi. That's what the Gemara says. Lisa Kedaita of the Rav Dimi Nimshachim Ka'amar. Because if you think that when Rav Dimi said his statement, he only meant to say that the Mulois of Beis Rebbe would go out with an afsar with which the Bailan could hold on to, if that's what Rav Dimi Bishir Rav Chanina said, Midrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nafka. So we've learned that from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's Memra. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machlifin Hayu Lefnei Rebbe Shalzu Bezu Mahu. Remember what we saw yesterday, that they asked Rebbe, what happens if you swap around the Shmira of an animal which requires a higher level of Shmira with one which requires a lower level of Shmira, what's the din? An Amar Lefana of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi, Kachama Abba. Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his father Rabbi Yaisi, Arba Behemus Yotzes Ba'afsar, four animals get within Afsar, Asusa Pered, Vehagamal, which is what we're discussing, Vehapered. So let's just explain and try and piece this together. We basically got three statements which we're trying to deal with and trying to understand. We have the statement which we just quoted last, which we mentioned yesterday, about what happens if you have two different types of animals, one which requires a higher level of Shemira, one which requires a lower level of Shemira. And we wanted to know, what's the din if the animal which requires a lower level Shemira goes out with a muzzle of a higher level? What's the din? And Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yaisi, said in the name of his father, that there's four animals which go out with an afsar, a sus, a parrot, a gamal, and a chamar, meaning a gamal is supposed to go out with a low level Shemira, a gamal is not supposed to go out with a higher level of Shemira, seemingly implying that if a gamal goes out with a higher level of Shemira, then that is considered to be a masi. That was one statement. That was the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And then we had what we just quoted now, two other statements. We had Rav Dimi B'Shem Rav Chanina B'Shem Rebbe, or being made the Hanhaga of Rebbe. That was Rav Dimi B'Shem Rav Chanina. And then we have Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda B'Shem Rav Chanina as to what Rebbe did. So the Gemara is saying that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's statement is unnecessary. We just don't need that second statement which we quoted today. It's unnecessary. I have everything in Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi said B'Shem and Chanina that you should know what the Mulois of Beis Rebbe, that what they used to do, I know that he must have meant to say that they actually went out Kruchin, which is a Chiddush, to say that Lenoy is Mutter, because I've already learned another statement that any type of additional Shmira is unnecessary. So what possible Chiddush would he be coming to tell me had it not been to say that the Mulois, the Beis Rebbe, would go out with an afsar kruchin around their neck solely for the sake of Noi? So let's just see this last piece one more time. The Gemara says, Amrua Rabbanan Kameh Rabasi, Ho the Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Loi Tzricha. That second statement which we quoted today, B'Shem Rav Chanina, Loi Tzricha, it's unnecessary. Mid Rav Dimi Nafka, I've already learned it from the first statement from Rav Dimi B'Shem Rav Chanina. Why these are Kedaitich Rav Dimi Nimshachim Ka'amar? If you think that all Rav Dimi said is that the Mulois of Beis Rebbe would go out with a regular, good old-fashioned afsar and no higher level of Shmira, and then the second Memra, which we quoted today, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is saying that they can go out kruchais, and therefore perhaps you do need the second statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. No, that doesn't make any sense, because mid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nafka. Tarma B'Yehuda Amar Shmuel Machlifin Hayu Lefnei Rebbe Shalzu Bezu Mahu. In which case, I know already that the normal shmira for a gamal is with an afsar, and you're not allowed to do a shmira yisira, an extra additional shmira, thanks so much. And therefore it must be that when Rav Dimi said his original statement, his statement was saying chiddush. What's the chiddush? That the mulois of Beis Rebbe went out kruchais, that even though it was lenoy ba'alma, it's still mutter. In which case, the Gemara is sticking by this question that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's statement, B'Shem Rav Chanina, about the Hanhaga of Rebbe, is extra. That is the Gemara's problem. Says the Gemara, no. The Gemara says like this, Amalu Rabbi Asi responded and said, no, it's Trichlahu. I need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's statement. I need him when he came along and he said, I needed him to say that. I would not have necessarily have realized that myself. Why? Had it been from Rav Yehuda Mishmuel's statement, I might have said that Rebbe was not mekabel the edus of Rabbi Yossi, which his son Rabbi Shmuel said, in which case perhaps Rebbe disagreed, and in which case if Rebbe disagreed, you have no raya that we already know the shittas of Rebbe, in which case it was necessary for Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda to say Mulai Shalbis Rebbe Yotzes Ba'afsarein Kruches B'Shavas. Let's just see a couple of Rashis over here. Let's see the Rashi of about 12 lines in the bottom, Mulois. We'll start from there. So Mulois Predes. We said the If the only thing, the original statement of Rav Dimi was saying, when he said that that the Mulois of Beis Rebbe would go out with Absarein, he meant Nimshachim, that you can only drag them and pull them. Avol kruchim loy, that we would never allow the Mulois to go out with noy, with just a collar, a stylish collar around its neck. Vele arsalash mein and eladu Mulois mishtamareis ba'afsar, and he's just coming to teach us the basic din that Mulois, these mules, are mishtamareis with an afsar, in which case vele avi masilu, don't we know that already? Midrav Yehuda Mishmuel Nafka. Why? Because we think at this stage that when Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, my father Rabbi Yossi said that a gomel is yotzeis for afsar, Rebbe was mekabel that. So if he was mekabel that, so what was Rav Dimi's chiddush? Why did Rav Dimi say you should know b'shem Rav Chanina b'shem Rebbe that the Molois would go with an afsar? We know that, because we have a Meister with Rebbe, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and Rebbe was Mekabalit. Oh, it must be that you, Rav Dimi, Bashir and Rav Chanina, were coming to say a Chiddush. What was the Chiddush you were coming to say? That even if it goes out with a stylish collar, that's what you could do. And in that, the Gemara responds and says, no, you have no Raya from the Meister with Rebbe and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, because it could be, it was never Mekabal. Fine, says the Gemara, so that's why you need that statement. Kamash Malon, the Rav Dimi. So Kamash Malon, Rav Dimi said a statement that Mulois of Beis Rebbe would go with an afsar. The Rav Dimi, and had we only had the statement of Rav Dimi, Havamina Hani Milanim Shachim. But you can only position the afsar around the mule if it's done in a way where you're actually going to, it's going to facilitate your shmirah, where you're able to draw and lead the animal. But who's to say an animal can get with a fancy, stylish collar? Kamash malan, the shmur Rabbi Yehuda. Hence, the necessity for both the memories of Rav Dimi, b'shem Rav Chanina, and Rav Shmur Bar Yehuda, b'shem Rav Chanina. Okay, good. Now he said, back in the Mishnah, we said Umazin Aleyen the Tavlon Bimkoiman. So going back in the Mishnah, we said in a situation where these animals, these Bali Shir, the animals which have a collar, in the event that the collar became Tameh, let's say it became Tameh Bitumas Mace, so then one needs to sprinkle from the Afer Paraduma on these kelim, on the shear, to be matar them. And they also require a tefillah b'mikvah, in some cases. So we say, mazin aleihen v'tovlin b'mkoyman. The Mishnah said that you can be mazin whilst it's on the animal, and you can be tovel the item whilst it's on the animal. So says the Gemara like this. Says the Gemara, Lameimra de Bnei Kavuli Tumaninu. So the Gemara is questioning the whole premise of the din of the Mishnah. I mean, the fact that you're telling me that your Mazda and your Matzbo, obviously it can become Tumi. Lameimra de Bnei Kavuli Tumaninu Vatinan. We learned in the Mishnah, Tabas Adam Tumaya, the Tabas Behim of Akelim, Mashar Kol Hatabois. So Hoyrois. So, meaning the only type of ring which becomes tummy is the ring of a human being, not the rings of animals, not the rings of kalim. Let's just see a couple of Rashi's. Rashi says, "Tabas adam shneisim be'etzbol enoy tameya why the tashatu umim midyan yalfinen." We learn that from the parasha of Midyan in Parshas Mateis. The man of an tashitin etzada v'tzamid v'gamer v'kulu koy tischato. Atem v'shavechem, it says you need to be mitahar these things. Whereas tabas behemah kigen shir, like the collar which is around the animal's neck, or tabas kalim ke'en sh'aysim b'reish yudeis ha'kalim, things which are used at the top of handles, v'sharkol tabais, kigen asiyes ladelis, ones which are made for doors and the like, they are tahoris. So I don't understand, in fact, the Gemara, the whole premise of the din of the Mishnah, that you can be mitahir these things whilst it's still on the animal's neck, but it doesn't become tummy in the first place. So it says the Gemara, Amr Yitzchak, Beboyin min adam l'nei behema. We're making a kimta, and the kimta will be that this particular collar used to originally service human beings, and therefore it was a kli adam. And it became tamei whilst a person was wearing it. And then the person decided, you know what, I'm not going to wear this anymore. And he gave it to his animal, he put it around the animal. And now in that case, when it became tamei, now that this is the collar of the animal, you can be mitahir it whilst it's still attached to the animal. That is the first answer. Second answer, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Hoyo v'adam meishech behemes ha-be'ema. The reason why it can become tummy is because it's actually there to help and to aid the person. Meaning the person uses this shear, this collar, when they are leading the animal. In which case, it's there ultimately to service the person also, in which case, that's the reason why it's going to become tummy. After all, Milei Tanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa? Makal shel behema shel maseches mekabel tuma. If you have a rod which you use for the sake of an animal, it's makabel tuma matam. Why? Hoyova adam redeben, because the fellow uses this to subdue his animal. So being that it's used for the sake of the man to help him control his animal, so it's coming to service a human being, the male it's makabel tuma. Hanami says to over here, hoyova adam meishach ben. Being that a person uses this collar to pull the animal, it's there for the sake of the person.
Did we not say up to now that it is a behemoth? It's a noy of the behemoth, not because it's a tashmish of the Adam. We've been saying all the time, the reason it's permitted is because it's a noy of the behemoth. Or because it's shmira, et cetera. But here, we are changing completely. We are saying now, because the man is using it as well, so it's
becoming... No, we're discussing two things. When it comes to a collar, we had one shaila in the Gemara. Do we say that an animal is able to go out wearing a collar? If all the collar is doing is serving as noy, beauty, style. One machlokes in the Gemara, one says no. That's considered to be a masir. There's no concept of noy for the animal. And the only time we will allow an animal to get with a collar is if it will somehow aid the person in the shmira of the animal. That's one nekuda. That's one shiva. Now we have another din in the Mishnah, and that is, in the event that this collar became tummy, so then you're mitayer the collar whilst it's still on the animal. Asks the Gemara, but the kalim, the rings and the collars of animals don't become tummy in the first place. Only the tabas of a man becomes tummy. So the gabi tumen tyra, we're saying tumen tyra is limited only to the tabois of human beings, not to the tabois of animals. That's a different discussion, legabu tumen taira. On that, we have two answers. Answer number one is, it became tame whilst it was a tabas for the person, meaning the person, let's say, a woman used this collar around her waist as a belt. And it was metal. So she's got some type of a metal belt around her waist. It became tame. She says, you know, I'm not going to use this anymore. And she uses this as a collar over the animal. Says the Mishnah, if you want to be metire this, you can be metire it whilst the animal is still wearing it. You ask the kasha, the tabas of an animal doesn't become tame. Yeah, it doesn't, but here it became tummy whilst the person was wearing it. That was the first answer. The second answer is, no, it can become tummy even if a person never wore it, insofar as it's there to service the person. It's there to aid in the shmira of the person. And that's how, and that's why it can become tummy. Let's see a couple of rashis. Let's look at the Rashi three lines down. The beboyin mino adam lano veima masnizin kigin shenasis shirza latashit adam. It became originally jewelry for a person. Uboyde la adam nitma, and whilst it was on the person, it became tame. Ola achet tumasai, in post becoming tuma, nasnil veima. They gave it to the animal. Vatzach lad bilam betumasai rishenosh layika betiris. So therefore, it still is necessary to be matar this keli so that it doesn't come into contact with any tyrus. The second answer we said was hoilva adam meishach behenes abeima chashiv lei klei tashmish de adam. It's there, also it's a keli of the person. It's on the animal, but it's a keli of the person because it's necessary for the adam. Good. Let's see weiter. So we said, it's possible to be matzbil whilst the animal is still wearing it. Frag the Gemara, the obvious question, but how can you do a tefillah? We know that the tefillah, the meha mikvah, has to totally envelop the keli, or let's say the tefillah is taking place in another body of water, but it needs to totally envelop the item. And to the extent that the animal has got this this collar around its neck, there's going to be a chatzitza, and therefore that's not a good tefillah. Says the Gemara, Amr Ami Bisharizchan. What's the case? The case is Bisharizchan. Says Rashi, about 15 lines down, let's see, Vaika chatzitza shetabas, hakavua bishir, kavua by the chizik, it's there, tight. And therefore the water is not able to reach the animals, the entire underside of the shear, of the collar. So we said the case is Bisharishan. What does this mean? Hiko bapatish ajinis pashit venis rachi vanekiv soviv soviv. So imagine, if you will, you know, this is the animal's neck, and you've got this collar around the animal, so before you immerse it in the mikvah, you kind of bang it out a little bit, so you loosen it, so now that it's loose, when it goes in the mikvah, the mikvah is going to be able to go around the entire collar. And that is what... Yeah?
The behemoth is not tummy, only the collar.
Only the collar, 100%. Yeah.
Right, but is it just the one work with a human? If a human's wearing something that's tummy, can he immerse himself if it's loosened, there's no chatzitza?
Well, again, here the dion is only on the keli. We're dining only on the keli, not on the human being. So, I mean, you're right. And a live animal, unlike a live person, a live animal can never become tummy, whereas a person could become tummy. But in theory, let's say you had a person who became tummy, and he's wearing loose jewelry, and it's the type of tumo which just going into a mikveh would be matar both. As long as the jewelry is loose, you could be matar the jewelry also at the same time. It's not that you would have to first be matar the person and then be matar the jewelry. So the point is, as long as it's loose and the mime is able to be makif and envelop the collar, the shear, then it's no problem. So that would be that would be fine. So says Rav Ami, the case over here is that you banged it, Now that you banged it, you loosened it. Now that you loosened it, there's no problem. The mime is able to envelop the keli from all sides. Now, says the Gemara, very interesting. Lamer Rabami Krabi Yosef Sfirale. I mean, we just said in the previous sigil, we had a kasha. We said, I don't understand the whole hanacha, the whole premise of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. You're being metaher, the tabas, the collar of an animal. The collar of an animal doesn't become tame. So we gave two answers. Answer number one was Rabbi Yitzchak, that originally it became tame when it belonged to a person. Answer number two of Rabbi Yosef was that it's there to service the human being. Now, Rabbi Ami answers this kasha, the chatzitza kasha, by saying you banged it. The Gemara says, very interesting, Lamer Rabbi Ami k'Rabbi Yosef svirale. It must be we can infer that Rabbi Ami, who gave this answer, would hold like the second answer we gave in the previous sugya. The answer of Rabbi Yosef, Hoyol v'adam moshech b'hemes abeima. Why? The Iker v'Yitzchak, if he would hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, the Omer b'boyim minay adam l'nay b'hema, that it was already tamei whilst it was by a human being, and then he gave it to the animal, and then he bangs it, Kaven the Rizchan, once you bang it out of shape, Avid Bumaisa, O Parachalatuma, that action in and of itself should be sufficient to be Mafkia the Tuma. Why would you need to subsequently go to the mikvah? The very act of being Marasach it, of banging it out of shape, that should be sufficient to remove the Tuma. This man, because we learned in the Mishnah, all kelim become tamei, meaning they become susceptible to Kabbalah's tuma once the Adam has decided to use it as a functioning keli. The ein olin mitumasin ela b'shinui maisa, and the only way it's going to come out is with a shinui maisa. I mean, other than obviously taking it to the mikvah, if it's something which you can go to the mikvah, but you would have to do a proper action to be mafkir the tuma. So says the Gemara, if you would hold, if you would hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that the keli was tame, it was given to the animal, and then you bang it, the act of banging it out of shape should be an act which is mafkia the tuma. Let's see a couple of Rashi's. Rashi says, Rabbi Yosef Sfirle, the Omar Kishahein Shel Behem Anami Makabli tuma, it can become tame in the first place, whilst it's by the animal, I mean, the fact that you bang it and you loosen it, that doesn't really do anything. I mean, think about it. If the animal is wearing something around its neck, and we're saying the reason why it can become tummy is because it's there to service and aid the fellow, the man, who is leading the animal. If all you do is you bang it and you loosen it even more, so you haven't really done anything which kind of goes against the reason why you're having this collar in the first place, which is there to kind of help the fellow hold on to the collar so he can guard the animal. So that you haven't necessarily done anything to show, to be mafkia, the original tuma. Whereas, says Rashi, the Iker, Yitzchak, the Amar, Le Mekavle, Tuma, Ella, Ba'idin, La'adam, Tuma Zusha Kibla Baidim La Adam Kevin the Rizchan, once you've banged it, the Shuv Einoyim La Adam, and now it's no longer nice. I mean, this was a keli which only is Tame insofar as this is a beautiful gold belt. It's a nice gold belt, it's a clasp which a woman wears around her waist, and it's beautiful. Now you go ahead and you whack it with a hammer out of shape, so then you have removed its tuma, says Rashi. It's no longer nice and fashionable for a person. So that's it. That action in and of itself should be sufficient to say you have rid the keli from its tumor. That is the Gemara. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So it must be that from Rabbi Ami's answer, we can infer that he holds like Rabbi Yosef. Because if we'd hold like the first answer of Rabbi Yitzchak, the act of being merasechet in and of itself would be maskeva tumah. Says the Gemara, no. Says the Gemara, really, I'll tell you that Reb Ami can hold like a Yitzchak. So why is Ritcha not considered to be a hafkav tumah? Savala ki Rebbe Yehuda, the Amr Maisa l'sakein lav Maisa. If you do an act which is considered to be a positive act, that is not going to be the type of act which is going to rid and be maskir the tumah from the keli. This is a positive act. Why is this a positive act? If you look at Rashi in the middle of the page, a few words in, Rashi says, Lasakin vizu hi tikunoi litzerech habehema. Right? Meaning to say, you're right. When this was a fashionable gold belt, which a woman would wear, and now you take a hammer and you whack it out of shape, well, of course, that would be a bad thing, and that would be mafkir tumah. But now that you have designated and established that this is no longer a fashionable gold belt, but rather this is the collar for my par, so then when you bang it and you loosen it, now what you've done is, in essence, you have made it easier for the bialim to deal with the animal. So there's no problem. You haven't done an action which is antithetical to what this particular keli is being used for. And therefore this is considered to be a maisa l'sakin, says the Gemara. Maisa l'sakin is not considered to be a maisa to be mafkir tumah, the Tanya. Because we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer le'amru shinu maisa l'sakin el l'kalko. The only time you can be maskir the tumah is if you're mekalkalit, as if you do something negative, not if you do something positive. The Masnei Zatana, going back to the original kasha of the sugya, we said vayikach chatzitza. There's a problem of chatzitza. So says the Braisa, b'mechulalin. We're making ukimta that we're speaking about mechulalin. Which Rashi says that this is loose. It's very loose. It's a loose collar around the animal's neck. In which case, there's no problem of chatzitza. Like we know that if a person is wearing loose clothing or loose jewelry and so on, and they go into a mikvah, it's not considered to be a chatzitza. So that is the way that we will make an okimta in our sugya. Good. It says the Gemara. Shal Talmud Echad Migalul Ha'elyon as Rabbi Elazar. So Talmud asked Rabbi Elazar the following. Shamati Shecholkin Beit Habas L'Tabas. We just spoke about different types of rings. So he said, I heard that there is some type of distinction which is made, something to do with rings, that there is a distinction, but Shamati Shecholkin Beit Habas L'Tabas. And Rashi says, I'm sorry, it says Rashi, Shecholkin yesh chilak b'hilchisein ve'eine yodea mal chilukon. Meaning, I heard that there's some distinction made about different types of rings, but I don't know what the distinction was and in which particular area of halacha the distinction was made, but I know that within rings, it depends what type of ring, and there are certain chalukim made in halacha. That is what this Talmud told Rabbi Elazar. So Amar Loi, Shema Loi Shemata Ela Le'inyan Shabbos. Maybe you heard a distinction being made with regards to the halachas of Shabbos, with regards to Haitzah on Shabbos. Like if you look in Rashi, Le'inyan Shabbos, Rashi says, Le'inyan Haitzah Shabbos Yesh Chiluk. Bein Yeshola Chaisim Lesheinala Chaisim Kidamala Kamon. We're going to see that there's going to be a distinction being made as to which types of rings men and women are allowed to walk in the Rishus Arabim with. With ones with a seal, with a signet, or without a signet. So said Rabbi Elazar, maybe what you heard was with regards to Haitzan Shabbos. Because the Ilanyan Tumah, which was the obvious other place of potential distinction, the Ilanyan Tumah, Davidachadi, no distinction are made with regards to rings, Legavi Tumah, so it must be you heard something which had to do with Hilchas Shabbos. Fragbi Gemara, Ilanyan Tumah, Davidachasi, we just mentioned in the last Sigya on the previous Amud, that there is a distinction. Ulinyim tuma dovda achasi evatnan tabas adam tumeya v'tabas beim v'kelim v'shar kol tabois dehoros. Meaning it's only the tabas of a human being which is mekabel tuma, not the tabas of a beima and kelim. So how can Rabbi Elazar say dovda achasi legabe tuma? Says the Gemara, now, Kika Amel Le'iyu Nami, when Rabbi Elazar said to the Talmud that Legabi Tumah it's all the same, the Adam Kamalei, he was referring to normal rings. He wasn't referring to animal rings. He was saying within rings that human beings wear, there is no distinction made. Right, the Gemara, is that true? Uda Adam Davida Achasi, there's no distinction amongst human rings. Vatanya Tabash, Iskina, Lachgar Ba, Masna, Lakasha Ba, being safe of Tahira. If you have rings or loops which are there to kind of prop up and service the actual garment itself, those rings are Tahira. Vale Amru Tumeya Elishal Etzba Bovad, meaning the types of rings which are Tame are rings which are worn on a finger. But if you have rings and loops which are coming to actually service the various bits of clothing and lock them together, those aren't the Kabbal Tuma. So you see, even within the world of rings for human beings, there is a distinction which is made based on if it's for a finger or if it's part of the clothing. Says the Gemara, Kika Amalei Unami de Etzpakama. When Rabbi Elazar said no distinction is made, Legabi Tuma, he was referring to rings of a human being which are worn on fingers. Not a normal case, a normal ring for a normal person. Like the Gemara with Etzpadavda Achas, is that true? That no distinction is made, Legabi Tuma, for rings on a finger. Well, Tanan, we learn Tabash Shomateches. If you have the ring where the actual ring, the ring itself is made of metal, the chisama shel almoig, and the seal is made of a type of wood, tmeya. Whereas he shel almoig, but if the actual ring is made of the wood, the chisama shel mateches, tahara, then the ring is tar. So we have a kasha that we see that there is a distinction which is made legabi tuma about a ring which a human being wears on their finger. Says the Gemara, Kika Amalei Unami, Kula Shomateches to Amalei. Yes, so finally, we finally know what Rabbi Elazar was saying. If it is a ring for a human being, and it's worn on the finger, and the whole thing is made of metal, and it's not there for to be used in clothing and so on, then no distinction is made. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar was correct to tell the Talmud that the only distinction you heard about was a distinction which would be made legabe Shabbos. Let's just see the Rashi as to what exactly is the difference between a metal ring with a wooden seal or a wooden ring with a metal seal. So if you look at Rashi, it's in the wide lines. Four lines down. Almoig, says Rashi. Rashi says, Atse almoigim, v'hunaya. So it's an attractive type of wood which is used in rings. So if the actual ring is metal and the seal is made of wood, tameya. Why? The basa tabas is linen. We go after the actual ring itself. And unlike wood, which a vital prerequisite for it becoming tummy is that it needs to have a base kibble, there's got to be a little receptacle of sorts when it comes to metal. Even if you just got a straight or a round piece of metal, it's subject to tumah. Whereas, says Rashi, Hishal almaig tahira, but if the actual ring is made of wood, it's tahira. Why? The pshutikliyetsu. It's pshutikliyets. So therefore, lemaskana, again, the Talmud asks, Rabbi Elazar, I heard that a distinction is made legabi tabois, and I don't know what the thing was referring to. Rabbi Elazar says the distinction you heard must have been legabi hilchos Shabbos, legabi hutzah, because legabi tuma, certainly if it is a ring of a human being, which is made for the actual person, for levisha, on their finger and it's made of metal, then no distinction is made. So, v'oid sha'al shamati shechalkin bein machet l'machet. So once again, this Talmud heard, you know, part of the shir, and not the whole thing. He said, I heard that a distinction is made between different types of needles. And once again, I don't know any more than that. But I know there's a difference in halacha between different types of needles. So, Amalei, so Rabbi Elazar said to him, Shemalei shamata l'inyan Shabbos. So once again, he said that there is a distinction legabe hoitzah on Shabbos. The ilinyan tuma, dovda achasi. Once again, legabe tuma, it's the same thing. Dovda achasi. Let's see Rashi. Linyan Shabbos, five lines down in the wide lines. El linyan Shabbos, linyan hoitzah Shabbos yeshchilik be nekuva l'she'ene nekuva. The nekuva ketani chayiv chatis. If you've got a ring, if you've got a needle, which has a hole in it, then there's a chayiv chatis if you take it out on Shabbos. U'b'she'ene nekuva, but if it's more just like a pin, kegoyin ishpigla shehi tachshit ketani ene chayiv chatis bepeg b'meisha. So that really is considered to be a tachshit. It's considered to be decorative. We're going to see in the next parak that there might be some type of an iser derabbanan for a woman to go out with certain types of jewelry on Shabbos for fear that she might take it off and show it to her friend and end up walking down Amos Peshus Arabim. But midya raisa, it's certainly considered to be a tachshit. So said Rabbi Lazar, maybe you heard a difference legabe of Shabbos, because legabe tumo, it is the same. So let's see back in the Gemara. The linyan tumo, dova da achasi. Reg the Gemara, linyan tumo, dova da achasi. Is that true? Vatnan, machet shenito chayra, ay ukta, tahayra. If you have a needle, and its hole, or the point, was removed, you're matar the machet. Because that is really, again, you've done something which is antithetical to what a needle is. A needle is something which you put in and you sew, and if you remove the hole or the point, so then you can no longer use the needle properly. And therefore that would be something which would be mafkia. It's tuma. Rashi says, chayre is the harshlet's hole, and ukta says Rashi, punta, the point of the needle. So frankly, Gemarakash, how can you say it's the same? Once you do this to the needle, it's no longer subject to tumah. Fakert, you're matar the needle. Says the Gemara now, kikamalei b'shleima. Rabbi Elazar was speaking about normal needles, normal regular needles, not broken needles. So frankly, Gemara b'shleima, David achasi, even by a full needle, which is shalem, v'atnan, we learned in the Mishnah, machat shehalasa haluda, if you have a machat which became rusty. So we say the following distinction. Im ma'akev is atzvira tahira. If the rust is so bad that it prevents normal stitching, then the machat is no longer tummy. Bimlav, but if it's just got a little bit of rust on and you can still sew with it, then it's still tmeya. V'amid b'Rabiyana, and Rabiyana qualified and explained, v'hu sherishuma nikr, which one shot in Rashi means that when do we say that if it's rusty, it's no longer tummy? If it's so rusty, if when you sew and stitch, the rust will come off on the garment. So once it's so rusty that the rust is going to make some type of a lasting imprint on the garment, then it's clearly very, very rusty, and therefore there's no longer any tumor. So you see, even if you have a complete needle, there is a distinction which is made between a rusty needle and a non-rusty needle. Says the Gemara, Kikamalei b'shifa. Now, Rabbi Elazar is speaking about a nice, smooth needle which doesn't have any rust on it. U'b'shifa davda achasi, and what by a smooth needle, it's the same. Vatanya machat bein nekuva bein einen nekuva. Muta l'taltla b'Shabbos. So a machet, whether or not it's got a hole, and need an eye, whether it's got a point. You're allowed to be metalfilin on Shabbos because you can always use this machat. You can use this machat to remove a splinter. And loy amru or loy amrina nekuva elele inyan tuma bovav. The only time we said that there's a distinction made with regards to a machat which is nekuva is with regards to tuma. So we see once again, if you look at Rashi over here, let's just see two Rashi's. Mutal etaltal b'shavas says Rashi b'chatzer, meaning granted you cannot take it onto the Rishus Rabbim, but it doesn't become mukta, meaning there still is a function for the needle insofar as the chazi liklas akoitz, but there is kliyalel v'le'amru nekuva haluka lehilchisah elyin tuma bovad nekuva mekabelas tuma v'she'en nekuva loy. So you see very clearly that if you have a pin which doesn't have an eye in it, it is not mekabel tuma. So you see, it's a complete needle, and it's not rusty. And nevertheless, we see that legabi tuma, there is this distinction being made that if it doesn't have an eye in it, but rather it's just a single pin, a simple pin, it's not mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, Tirgama by leave the Rava begolmi. Now, well, that case is speaking about begolmi. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Tirgama by Perakama Kalim. Begolmi shu golem sheniktatza min hachut v'imedes linakiv. Hasem hu dechol zman shli nikva eina mekabeles tuma. Meaning, this is something which you are planning on turning into a regular needle. So you have a piece of metal, it's just a golem, it's just a hunk of metal, and you plan on piercing it to make an eye, so that it will become a needle. So there we say, so long as you haven't been gomer the kli, so then we say it's got the regular halachic conception of le nigmar malachtoi. It's not yet finished. It's not yet finished. It's not mekabel tuma. But in a regular, normal, full-fledged needle or pin, no distinction is made. And therefore, as Rabbi Elazar said, maybe what you, the Talmud, heard, that a distinction was made, was Legabi Shabbos. The Legabi Shabbos, if you go out, if a person has made to you a needle with an eye in it, there's a Chiyuv Chatas. If you go out with a needle without an eye in it, a regular pin, which is considered to be part of Tachshit Enoshim, then there is certainly no Issa D'Oraisa. Okay, let's begin a little bit the next Sugya. We move on to discussing different items which animals wear. And the shaila is going to be, we're going to be discussing a donkey. A donkey would wear usually a mardas and an ukuf. So let's explain. The mardas was basically a cloth which would go on the donkey's back. On top of the mardas was an ukuf, which was a saddle of sorts. And sometimes it was made of hard leather, and sometimes it was made of wood. And the function of this ukuf very often was, you don't want to load up the donkey with a bunch of bricks on the donkey's back if it's just got a thin piece of cloth on it. So that you would first put the maidas, the cloth, then you'd put the ukuf, and then on top of the ukuf would you put the load, and this way it wouldn't cause pain to the donkey's back. So the question is, can you actually go out to the Rishus HaRabim with a magas on the donkey's back, with an ukuf on the donkey's back? And one of the things that Gemara is going to say, which is special and perhaps unique to donkeys, is that donkeys have a tendency to be cold, even in the summer. And therefore, if a donkey goes out with a magas, with some type of a covering, a blanket on its back, it's actually helping the donkey to keep it warm, because the Gemara is going to say that the donkey is always considered to be cold, even in Tkufas Tamus. So let's see. It's like the Mishnah. Hamar yotze b'mardas bizman shehi kshura bay. So note the discussion in the Mishnah is yotze. Yotze means to go out to the Rishus HaRabim. Whenever you see the word yotze in Mishnayos, it doesn't just mean out of the house into the chutz. It means to go out into the Rishus HaRabim. Says the Mishnah, It can go out with this midas, providing that it is attached. Now, zecharim, males, and we will see, Rashi says that we're discussing rams over here. So, zecharim, zak the Mishnah, yotzin levuvim, they can go out when they are in a state of being levuvin. Now, we're going to see exactly what all these terms in the Mishnah mean, but we'll leave it for now. Zecharim go out when they are levuvin, we'll see. Racheles, female sheep, the ewes, are yotzeis shchuzois, kavulois, ukvunois. They go out when they are in any one of these three states. And again, Rashi says that we will see what all of these things mean. But basically, you want to cover and protect it. You don't want a zachar to mate with it, and therefore you want to protect it. Or you do want a zachar to mate with it, and therefore you want to lift up its tail, or you want to protect its fleece. So you're doing various things to the animal for various reasons. So says the Tanakhama that the sheep, the ewes, are yotzeis shchuzeis, kvuleis, and kvuneis. The ezim, the goats, are yotzeis tzrureis. So you're doing something to kind of tie up something. We'll see in a minute what this means. Rabbi Yossi Oisa, b'chulon, he asks all of these, chutz min arachelim hakvuneis. The one exception is, if you're doing something to protect its actual fleece, that is the only thing which he allows, which Rabbi Yossi allows. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Izim Yotzeis Tzrureis LeYabesh Avoloi LeChalev, meaning when it comes to goats, you could be tying up its udders for one of two reasons. It could be you're tying up the udders because you want it to dry out, and you don't want it to nurse anymore. So you're tying it up to dry it out, or you're tying it up because you don't want it to, you don't want the milk to drip all over the place, and you want to wait for 20 minutes from now when you'll be able to extract the milk in a way that you're not going to end up losing the milk. So if you're doing it to be miyabish, to dry it out, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's permitted. But if you're doing it for the sake of the chalav, that is not permitted. That is not permitted. Let's just finish. We'll just see a couple of Rashis. Let's see the Rashi of Rav Yehuda Oseh B'chulan, the Masri, who he says all of these things are considered to be a Masri. Chutz min arachelim hakavunais shehu shmiras tzimron shalei yitanef, so it shouldn't become soiled. V'havei lehu tachshit, and like we're saying throughout the perek, the yisoid of the perek is what is considered to be a tachshit to the animal. What's considered to be the way the animal presents itself? Like we said, I'm not carrying my clothing. I'm wearing my clothing. So the male is considered to be bottled to me. It's a tachshit to me. It says Rashi, Yotzeis tzrureis liyabesh, rebutes firle ketanakama delav masiu. Meaning the fact that you have goats and you're tying up the udder, that in and of itself does not necessarily make it into a masui. Miul yabesh the mahadik, if it's done to dry it out, the mahadik, and it's done tightly, shaper, that's fine. And therefore there's no concern that it's going to fall off and you're going to come to carry it down Amas Bishus Arabim. But if it's done just to protect the milk from dripping, the lema hadik shaper, and it's not tied tightly, then chayshinan, that it's going to fall off, and if it's going to fall off, then you might come to carry it down as suspicious a rabbit. Okay, we will pick it up. We'll pick up the Gemara Bez Hashem tomorrow at 6 o'clock.